I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Money coach Alvin Hall is next, but first, the Mocha Moms. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few Mocha Moms. We turn to them every week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to continue a conversation we began last week about elder care. The statistics bear repeating. According to the Federal Administration on Aging, the number of Americans over 65 years old is expected to double by the year 2050 to 79 million. The number of those over 84 is expected to quadruple to 18 million. Since families are having children later in life, many now find themselves taking care of both elderly parents and young children at the same time. To talk about all of this, I'm joined by regular Mocha Moms Jolene Ivy, Shelley English Figaro, and Asra Nomani. And let's welcome back our guest mom, Dr. Marion Summers. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you.
So, Dr. Marion, we're happy to have you here in the studio with us, but that happened because you're on a tour to talk about elder care. Doesn't sound like a vacation, but tell us about it.
Well, it's not a vacation. This is 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it's my joy to do this. I've been a geriatric care manager for over 35 years, and in that process, I have learned to love the elderly, and my goal is to have people be proactive rather than reactive.
I should mention that Dr. Summers has a book called Elder Care Made Easier, Dr. Marion's 10 Steps to Help You Care for an Aging Loved One. I want to raise something that we talked about last week we didn't get a chance to flesh out, and that is, let's say you have identified the fact that elderly parent or elderly relative needs care, but the siblings are not all on the same page. Sometimes it's hard to transition to the idea that you're now have to step up to the plate, that care, the person who's taking care of you now needs care. But what if everybody doesn't agree? Have you encountered a good way to handle a situation like that? And how common is it that siblings don't agree?
I would say the vast majority have very different opinions as to how we should go forward with an elderly person. Sometimes it's long-distance caregiving, and they have their own ideas as to what should be done. Very often it's not what the person who is actually there doing the work wants to have done. And we all have to be on the same page. So a good deal of my time is ameliorating problems, opening up the discussion so that everybody, every sibling, every relative that feels they want to be involved, and that's the good part, they want to be involved. The downside is we're at different angles as to how to go forward. So the first thing I did in my book was put communication first, because for me, communication is the key. Once you understand what the elder person needs, and by that I also say, unless they're mentally incompetent, find out from them what they need. We go in sometimes like gangbusters. We've purchased the food, you know, we fill the refrigerator, whereas the elder person is thinking, why are they messing with my refrigerator? Why are they messing with my time? They're buying food that they like, but that's not what I like. It's not where I want to put it in the refrigerator. And all of these small issues become huge issues.
But I want to ask you, and then I want to open it up to the other ladies. But you said, what if the person is competent to make these decisions? What's the line between asking the person and trusting what he or she says and saying, you know what, I don't think you're competent anymore to make decisions?
Well, in the book, I talk about all the signs to watch for. And they can be very little signs, and kind of they sneak up on you, like, are they walking around in their pajamas and not dressing? Are they not going out and socializing as they did before? Are they talking on the phone like everything's okay, but there's a dead cat in the other room, or a dead plant? I mean, really, I've gone into some apartments where I'm in shock as to the living situation. They're not paying attention to your conversation. Well, is there a hearing problem that you're not dealing with? Sometimes it could just be a medical reaction. You know, medication might be interacting, so it may not be a dementia problem, but it could be medication. So I always deal with the doctors so that we have a baseline. What's the weight? What's the everything that we're looking for from the medical standpoint? But if there are changes, be aware that even the most subtle change should be addressed.
Shelley, I think you had a question.
I did. A follow-up, I guess, of your question about what do you do? You're 300 miles away and you have a husband, you have children, you have a job, and you can't get there, and you're an only child, or if you have siblings, they're trifling.
I incorporate everybody, whether it's the mailman, and find out, have they been picking up the mail? Their senior center, has she been showing up at the senior center? And from your perspective, when they answer the door, do they seem alert? I ask everyone who has an interaction with my seniors, what are you seeing? And I tell you, most people really want to help.
So when you do go and have that visit, get your notebook out, get those phone numbers of anybody who you see is in the orbit. That's interesting. Asra.
Well, my heart almost broke this morning because I'll share with you my morning. I have my hair wet, typical, you know, rush to the computer, firing away emails. My mom, who is helping me raise my son, I'm a single mother, put a cup of tea next to me, put the granola bar so I could eat it on the drive-in to make sure I could make it here on time. And I told her about our show, and I said, what question would you have? And she said, how do I know that you're not going to send me back to India, which is where we come from, that you're not going to just dump me in a nursing home, which I am not passing judgment on that. But in her situation, she would rather be at home. And I love my mom, and I need her, and I want to be there with her. And I just want to ask you how we can assure our parents.
You build up love over a period of time, and you build up trust over a period of time. And that's our job, is to make sure that the relationship isn't fragmented or cracked or broken totally. And if that's a concern or whatever other concern she may voice, say, I hear you. Wow, it never occurred to me that that would be a concern, but I can promise you, or I will do the best I can to make sure that that never happens. And usually that reduces the anxiety.
Jolene, question?
You know, one thing I saw in your book that you talked about a lot was the importance of having your seniors involved with things in the community, with having some kind of intellectual outlet. And I really have found that's helped my dad a lot.
The mind needs to be activated. It needs to be stimulated. And the way to help with that is have activities that are of interest to the senior, not interests of yours, but senior. Whatever, you know, if they've always gone fishing, well, maybe they can't get in a boat and actually throw out a line, but they can go down by the docks and watch the other guys fishing. So we may have to kind of like substitute in some way some of these activities. But as far as I'm concerned, if you're above ground and you're alive, then you have to keep yourself active, physically active, mentally active, and as stimulated as you possibly can.
I wanted to pick up on something that Asra brought up, which is that the fear that many seniors have of living in a facility or being asked to move into a facility. The reality is that some people are just not equipped to take care of seniors for whatever reason, because their own lives won't accommodate it. They're taking care of children. It could be that the relationships are frayed to the point where it really would not be healthy. So I guess I'd like to ask how, if that is the situation, if moving a senior into assisted living or some other facility is the best choice for the family, how does one go about finding the best place? You hear so many horror stories about nursing homes and so forth. How do you go about trying to make the best decision?
Whether it's an assisted living, a retirement home, or a nursing facility, doesn't make any difference. If you are taking a person out of their own home into a facility, figure out what it is they want. Do you need to have them close to you so they can have visitation? That's an issue. Do they need any religious support? So you might need a facility that's religious oriented. I always say, whatever facility you're thinking about, brochures are always gorgeous. You have to physically go to the facility, go on their tour. They all have tours. Speak to the people who are actually living there now. When the staff is not around, talk to them. Say, how do you like the place? You know, how's the food? They never really 100% like the food. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But ask around. Call up the family members who have put their loved ones into the facility and say, is this facility supportive? Also, look to see how does the staff interact with each other, as well as how does the staff interact with the clients who are living there or the residents who are living there. How they talk to each other is very important, because you want your older person to be comfortable. You want them to have a sense of dignity. This is my new home. I want to be treated the way the elderly should be treated, with dignity and honor. They've worked hard all their lives, and no matter where they have to go for their golden years, it should be always
with dignity and love and support and embrace them for the beautiful people that they are.
Dr. Marion Summers is author of Elder Care Made Easier. She was kind enough to join us here in our Washington studios along with our regular moms, Jolene Ivy, Shelley English Figaro, and Asra Nomani. You can find links to the Mocha Moms and Dr. Marion Summers at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Ladies, moms, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
It was
Michelle.
My
thank
pleasure.
You.